So since we have our little kids in the room, and since the majority of those little kids are mine, I just ask you to remember to be patient with them. You know, Jesus didn't speak in quiet auditoriums. He didn't minister in quiet settings. You know, there would have been cows moving and chickens clucking and children screaming and all that sort of stuff. But the issue was, were the people listening? And so, you know, love the kids and let's just give our attention to the Lord. Kids are what they are, right? And let's not let that be something that distracts us from the Lord. But rather, let's just enjoy the fact that God is in our midst. Okay, I'm going to wrap up today this section of what I believe we need to be doing this year. At least for the beginning of it, my original thought, as I mentioned to you before, was to get to the place where we can talk about being good stewards. But before that, I believe God wants us to just get our hands around, our heart around, who are you? Why is it that God can say the things that He says to you, call you to serve the way He calls you to serve? Who are you? What has He done that makes you different than you were before you came to the Lord? Because if you aren't a new creature, you can't live in the things of God. We read in Galatians that the issue is not circumcision or uncircumcision, not the things you do right or wrong, nothing like that. It's not whether or not you're a male or a female, whether you're Jewish or a Gentile. The only issue is, are you a new creation or are you not? And hallelujah, we who have believed into Jesus have become new creatures. And this little section about who are you, I've called, we are new creatures who are called to be His disciple. And I want to continue from what I started last week. I have decided to follow Jesus. We're going to read two portions of Scripture at this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and then Matthew chapter 16, 23 through 25. And let's go to the next, let's just jump in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Please read that out loud and together with me, starting now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And then in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Amen. So very quickly as a review, we are new creations. We are a new species. Don't let the fact that your feelings didn't change or your physical appearance didn't change when you were born again, don't let that fool you. You are something that you were not before. And more than just, I'm now a Christian. No, if you have really believed into Jesus, you've been made a new creature. You've been joined to the living God. It would be reasonable to say, I don't want to make the case for it necessarily, and I certainly don't want to overemphasize it, but it would be reasonable to say that what you are is even better than what Adam was before he fell. You are even better, and I'm not sure better is the right word. There is something even superior to what you are now than what Adam was before the fall. Because you've been called into a living relationship with the living God again that even covers your sins. Even your sins are addressed. And we, I think, live so far below what has been made possible for us. Because we acknowledge the Bible says we're new creatures, but we all know better than that. And that's so often our trouble. When we say we believe something, what we really mean is I know the Bible says it. Did you know there is a difference between I believe and I know the Bible says it? Right? But we are used to being religious, I suppose, for the lack of a better way, or presumptuous in saying, well, if the Bible says it, then of course I believe it. Because, you know, I believe everything the Bible says. So it's the same as saying, I believe it, when what I really mean is, the Bible says it, but I'm not so convinced. And therein lies the problem. You know, as an aside, it came up during our meeting today, and this is not a criticism. This is where we're at, and this is where God helps us. You know, why don't the things that we know God has made possible, why aren't they working out in our lives like this? You know, healing or... You know, I still have these glasses. Inasmuch as I met with healing from the Lord in terms of my prescription, the fact of the matter is I still need a prescription. Right? And that's not what Jesus died for. So there is a ways for me to go. So I'm as much in the boat as anybody else who wants to put themselves in that boat. You know, in Mark, and I think it was in the Bible reading that was mailed on Friday, emailed to you for those of you who are in that Bible program, there was this episode where Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's called, and his disciples are talking with people, and he says, so what are you guys discussing? And a guy says, I brought my son to you, who's demon-possessed. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. Now, think about the context of it. This is set after, at least in Matthew anyway, if I remember correctly, maybe even Mark, this is set after Jesus sent out his disciples as apostles to go and proclaim and preach the kingdom, and they were casting out demons. They were. Do you remember they came back and they were rejoicing? Even the demons are subject to us in your name. So it's not like they'd never heard of this thing before, and this guy comes and says, can you do something? And so they were stuck because they'd never seen it. They themselves had cast out demons. But they couldn't do anything with this one. And Jesus has some pretty strong languages. Oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? It's not the purpose of our meeting today, but and there's so much to glean there, but it is at least worth seeing. These disciples who had seen demons being cast out, so they believed in it, right? They believed in it, couldn't do anything here. Why? Jesus called their reaction various things like littleness of faith, unbelief, perversion. We need to recognize there are depths to believing God that we need to traverse before we will see certain things come to pass. Because just a little bit of doubt can spoil the whole soup. And God wants to help us there. This is not get your act together, but rather let's recognize how things work. Doubt stops what God says from coming to pass. So it needs to be dealt with. Right? And hallelujah, God helps us to deal with it. But it's worth saying, it isn't enough to know that the Bible says you're a new creation. That doesn't really help you so much. It's better than not knowing. But what we need is to believe and in faith move in what it means. He said, put on the new self, which in the likeness of Christ has been made, without misquoting it, you are not what you used to be. It's not like human, the best human flesh. You are something new and you need to put it on. Because of it, you should no longer accept as normal all the things that this world and your experience tells you is normal. You know, it is an assumption that as you get older, you're going to get more and more decrepit. Your body's going to start failing, and if anybody's in that category, again, not a criticism, but it's just an assumption. As you get older, you get weaker, you start slowing down, and then you die. Now, the then you die part still holds, okay? Because we have not received our glorified bodies yet. And unless Jesus comes before you die and calls you home, you're going to die. We don't have to deny that. But you know, Caleb, a man who lived before the cross. When he was older than 80, he was ready to take on giants. He lived with a different expectation. Now, I by no means am trying to imply that you know, how you take care of your body has no impact. I don't mean to say you can treat your body like any old thing and it still work exactly as it was meant to. But we need to shake off these thoughts that what happens to everybody else is what's got to happen to me. I will say, if I'm almost 50, in 30 years, if I'm weak and broken down, it's because I let go of something, not because it's normal. Okay? And if you're already 80 and you have let go of something, well, you know what? As we'll see tonight, pick it up. Pick it up. The grace of God is still yours. Again, I use that not because the point of my example is that we should all be, you know, as strong as Caleb was at 40 when he was 80. I just don't want us to settle for what this world says is normal when we are not of the world anymore. Right? Yes, things happen to us. Yes, because we aren't as faithful with what God gave us as we could be, we are often experiencing more trouble than we need to. And there is no condemnation for us in that. And that's, again, what we're going to touch upon today. But don't let the fact that there is no condemnation for you cause you just to settle there and say, oh, well, then it doesn't matter. Press in. Lay hold. Even if you're walking on canes and crutches, find something to step out of that in there. Right? With your last breath, as it were, press into the things of God in faith. We have that right. So let's do it. Let's do it. Again, my point more is to emphasize, don't let this place tell you what is normal. Let God tell you what is normal. Everything we are now called to is now possible because of what Jesus did. And these benefits are drawn out by faith, which comes about, if you were on the Thursday study, by being filled with His Word. That Word is able to do something in you that no amount of His sincerity can accomplish. And so, it's not just that you're a new creature, we are called to follow Him. Right? I don't think anybody in this audience that I'm speaking to is unaware that God says, follow me. We're given the command, aren't we, as a church, to make disciples of Jesus. Not just converts, but disciples. Now, to have disciples, of course, you have to have the converts. But we're after more than people just praying a prayer. We're after people who are following Jesus. Right? You are, first of all, called to be a follower of Jesus. And last week we looked at that, you know, we broke apart that passage that talked about take up your cross. And I contended that it means something more than just be ready to die. But rather the figure of speech that was being used had to do with, like a shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, you be prepared to serve. This is the life you and I are called to. Somebody else's agenda, God's, is more important than mine. And as I submit my agenda to God, God takes care of me. This is not to say that you can't have hopes and dreams, but all those things have to be given to the Lord, that you are always ready for His agenda. Always ready for His agenda. And you want it. It's not like, Lord, if you make me do something, I'm willing, but I'm going to be busy with my stuff here. You're always wanting His will in whatever you do, right? This is what we are called to do. And I'd like to point out to you, God telling you to follow Him is an act of salvation. Do you see that? God telling you, follow me, is Him saving you. There are things that go on in the life of those who've come to the Lord that can be effectively arrested, that they can be effectively stopped in your life. Like trouble, problems, things that the devil wants to do can be effectively dealt with if you choose to follow Him. Following Jesus is not just a good idea. You know, now that we're Christians, we really ought to be really good Christians. God telling you to follow Him is Him telling you how to stay safe. How to get into more blessing. How to be more effective. Being a follower of Jesus is salvation working out. Okay? Don't see it as something else. It is God wanting to help you. God loves you. He sees the trouble that wants to take over your life. And to help you, He says, so follow me. Come after me. Follow me. We are called to be followers. And today, I just want to end by talking about the need to choose to follow Him. Jesus said in that passage, if anyone wishes. Now, we know that He called certain people like Matthew. He said, follow me. And he came, right? Follow me. And that is what He said to you and me. Follow me. But it is worth emphasizing that still requires a choice on your part. If anyone wishes. You don't have to. You don't have to. God won't make you. If you want to get into the things that God has prepared for you, you need to, but you don't have to. You need to choose it. You need to choose to follow. If anyone wishes to follow Him. So that's worth recognizing that that involves an initial choice where you come and say, Lord, I want to follow You. But just like being born again is not a once and you're done kind of thing, you're only born again once, but its consequences are a continual thing that you need to receive. So choosing to follow needs to be a continual choice. I have decided to follow Jesus, and then tomorrow morning when I get up, I need to choose to follow Him again. Right? Do not let yourself be talked into a lukewarmness that comes about because you already have it in your, I've decided to follow Jesus, and then you don't pay any more attention to whether or not you actually are following Jesus. It's easy for us. Is there anybody in here who's going to stand up and say, I've decided I'm not going to follow Jesus today? Our problem is not a rejection of the call. Our problem is hearing the call, but they're not actively following with it. And so we definitely need an initial choice. Some point, even after you're born again, there needs to be a thought in your mouth, a thought in your mind, and therefore your mouth that says, Lord, I want to follow You. A free will offering. There needs to be that. But it needs to be a continual thing thereafter. You with me? You need to continue to follow Him. But what if we fail? So, you know, we're sincere people who want to follow the Lord. And then, as with so many things, we can get distracted. We can get off rail. We can be sincere, and then we stumble spectacularly. Do you remember Peter, who very clearly was pretty important to the things of God and how they were unfolding, right? He was the apostle that the Holy Spirit used to speak at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 got saved. He was the apostle that the Holy Spirit used to go and speak to, believe it or not, Gentiles. Unheard of. And it opened a whole new avenue for the things of God. This Peter, who God had used mightily, you know, there was a point in time in his life where Paul had to call him out. Peter secretly had started believing, you know, these guys are coming and saying that you need to get circumcised. You need to be Jewish to really be a Christian. And you know what? This is not my point. There's that thought today, too, that somehow messianic Christians are more better Christians than the rest of us. It's false! That's culture, not Bible. Okay? We have been grafted in, yes. But we are who we are and what we are for the same reason that somebody who has a Jewish tradition does. The blood of Jesus. The scriptures make a point of saying He has made both into one new man. So on what grounds can anybody say this is a better way of worshiping if it isn't founded in the blood of Jesus makes the way for us? Okay, so that's an aside. I don't really mean to make a big deal. I have no problem with people following any particular path that's in keeping with Scripture in worshiping the Lord. And it is interesting to me to see how God is continuing to fulfill the word He spoke to the Jews in so many ways. And it is worth knowing and respecting, but I draw the line at somehow that's better than this. it's better that you meet on a Saturday than a Sunday. Because Saturday was the Sabbath. But Sunday is the day that all those people in Acts started meeting. So whatever they thought Sunday would be a better day. Okay, these are not the things that really matter, right? Now I've got myself distracted. Let me go back. Peter starts getting a little too concerned about what these Judaizers are saying. And Paul had to call him out publicly. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Peter? Peter, like the guy who is so tight with Jesus, he knows it. And he's called out publicly. He is publicly rebuked for acting like the cross was not enough. What would you do if you were in Peter's shoes? Well, Peter got up and started moving on with the Lord again. Right? He started moving on with the Lord. The fact that he got publicly called out, the fact that he stumbled, didn't keep him from pressing deeper in. The book of 2 Peter, if I remember correctly, is written after that episode. And you see Peter very clearly continuing to be involved with the Lord. How about you and me? Okay, so you decide you want to walk with the Lord. And then you realize, you know, I haven't been really following the Lord. Or you spectacularly sin. You know, some of our brethren who have TV ministries, some of those have been pretty spectacular falls. Right? What do you do if you're in that circumstance? Here you are saying you decided to follow Jesus, and this is what you do. What's the point of choosing to follow Jesus when you know you're not going to do it? What's the point? When you know you're not going to carry through. I mean, look, there are other people who are serious, but you're not one of them. I'm speaking as the devil speaks now, aren't I? You're never going to do it. What do we do? The choice to follow him. I need to bring my slides back up because we have two passages of scriptures that I want to read. What if we fail? I'm going to read two portions of scripture to you, and then we're going to end. Romans chapter 7, that famous passage that, you know, when we're not so grounded in doctrine, we don't know what to do with Romans 7. Is this before a guy is saved, or is it after a guy is saved? People use this to say, see, you will, there is nobody who's really going to get it. We all do what we don't want to do, and we don't do what we do want to do. Well, leaving all that aside, I just want to bring you to the end of that passage. He says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? This body that doesn't seem to follow through with what my heart and mind want to do. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Too often people read Romans chapter 7 and forget this part. There's actually a solution. There's actually a rescue at the end of it. This is not saying, who will set me free from the body of death? There is no one anyway, so let's keep going. No, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. And here's the critical thing. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What should you do if you fail? There is no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. There is none. There is no hand from God saying, you can't go any further than this. God is not rejecting. God is not refusing. There is no opposition from God that you cannot get on. So what do you need to do? Well, in Philippians, and I'll only read one portion here. In Philippians chapter 3, I press on, verse 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself, let's go back to 13. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. What is your What is the thing that comes along and says, you can't go on with the Lord? What is the thing that comes along in your minds and thoughts that whenever you think about wanting to follow Jesus, there's something that comes along and says, yeah, but it's not going to work because you are dot, dot, dot. What is that thing? That thing is not from God. And you need to deliberately, with your own voice, speak against it and say, I am not disqualified from following after the Lord today because of what I did yesterday. I am not disqualified. I can choose again to follow Him. And that's what we need to do. Following the Lord is God's method of saving you today. Don't let anything talk you out of more fervently wanting to go on, especially when you stumble. Are you with me? Do you follow? Do not let accusation prevent you from laying hold of a prize when the blood of Jesus is saying you're entitled to it. Do not let accusation keep you from your prize, because all it can do is convince you to choose not to follow, but choose to follow today. Amen? Okay, let's give Him thanks and praise. We'll have a little time of fellowship together, and then we'll look forward to our next time.